It's time for the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layton Media, hosted by Liam Stats.
Welcome back to another episode of The Warrior Way by KWMN 99.3, the Winona Sports Network. Today we have head coach of the Winona State Warriors men's basketball team, Todd Eisner.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on with us today. Very happy to have you. You're the second basketball coach to be on this program. All right. So, yeah, I'm glad that you're here.
Super.
Let's get right on the way. The biggest question I've got, the one I ask everybody, is what made you want to get into coaching?
Well, I grew up in a basketball family. I played for my dad in high school, and so it's been a part of my life for, you know, as long as I can remember, and been in the gym a long time since I was young, and just really felt like that was something I had a passion for, and so I got into it as soon as I was done playing in 1991, and I've really been going at it ever since.
As a player, you are in the Wisconsin High School Coaches Hall of Fame. Was that something that you like saw coming, that you wanted to happen, or is it just something that you were like, "Oh, cool, it's happening"?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, I have no idea. I was once I left to go play at Creighton in 1986. I hadn't spent a ton of time in Wisconsin since then, other than the 4 years that I coached at Viterbo. So I wasn't really sure of the process or how that was all unfolding. And got that call, I think, in 2013 or 14, whenever it was. And they do a great job in the WBCA of recognizing former players and coaches and people that have been important to the game. And so it was a great honor to be inducted into the WBCA Hall of Fame at that time. So, yeah, it was a nice honor.
In high school, was the plan always to be a coach, or was it just to play basketball for as long as you could?
Well, yeah, you certainly hoped that I could play for as long as possible, but I ended up tearing both ACLs when I played at Creighton and came back from the first one fine. The second one was a lot more troublesome, and that was my fourth year when I tore that. And so my fifth year, I really struggled to physically just play. And so I knew going into that last year that my last college game was going to be my last game. And so it definitely changed some early career choices and that I hoped to be able to play somewhere. I wasn't good enough to play in the NBA, but I would have loved to go overseas and play. And I knew that wasn't going to be possible with how the knee was reacting from the second ACL surgery. So got into coaching right away. I was a GA at Creighton my first year out and was promoted each year in those 3 years. And things just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, you rose to the assistant coach position with Creighton, I do believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, they had some funky titles for assistant coaching positions at that time, but I was a graduate assistant for 1 year. I was what they call a restricted earnings assistant, which is exactly what it sounds like. I was only allowed to make so much money in the position that I was at the second year, and then I was a full-time assistant my third year. Unfortunately, we weren't very good at that time. So we were good when I played, and we weren't very good when I coached there. So that head coach lost his job, and everybody else did with him. And so I moved to Eastern Illinois University as a full-time assistant for 1 year, and really enjoyed that. But then I was afforded the first head coaching opportunity that I had in 1995 at Viterbo at age 27, and have basically stayed in the head coaching side of things, other than a 2 year stint back at Creighton in the mid 2000s. But other than that, I've been a head coach, in my 28th year this year, the college head coach.
Pretty much from 1995 onwards. Yeah, taking a closer look at this, your Viterbo stint, was that your first time like in any basketball capacity back in Wisconsin then?
It was. So obviously, I was in Omaha, Nebraska from 86 to 94, and then the 1 year at Eastern Illinois, 94-95, and then was fortunate Kevin Johnston hired me at Viterbo in 1995 as a young guy with obviously no other head coaching experience, but was able to walk into that program and establish some things and had some really, really good players that helped us win a lot of games over those 4 years and kind of went from there.
Yeah, I'm seeing here you were the 1998 MCC regular season champion and then a NAIA Division II Final Eight appearance in 1999, especially for your first head coaching gig. You only spent 4 years there. That's a pretty good resume right off the start.
You know, we were lucky. I mean, I inherited a young man the first year that ended up being player of the year, and he really set the tempo for us and James Vasek. And then we worked really hard in the recruiting process and recruited some really good high school players from the area. that came on and over those course of those last 3 years really helped us win a lot of games and establish ourselves as a really good program at the NEI Division II level. And we're fortunate to make the Elite Eight, or I guess you can't officially call it that, the Final Eight in our last year. And really wanted to do even greater things, but had an opportunity. I actually got out of coaching for 1 year and sold pharmaceuticals for Johnson & Johnson. And I did that in 1999 and moved from La Crosse to Birmingham, Alabama. And did that for about 14 months and then realized that was not what I wanted to do the rest of my life and got back into coaching in the year 2000.
Well, that's a very interesting. What was the process behind it? Was it just it was a good opportunity? You thought it would be a good opportunity? Or?
It was a great opportunity. And the connection was I've got two college roommates, and one of them is currently the head basketball coach at the University of Oklahoma.
Oh.
And the other one was working for Johnson & Johnson at that time, and he had just been promoted to district manager and needed to hire a sales force. And he convinced me that this would be a really good move professionally, and it was. Working for Johnson & Johnson was great. We sold a drug that had no competition, so we didn't, we were wanted by doctors, which in that profession is unique, and I just didn't enjoy it. And so, you've got to have a passion for something in life, and made a lot of money selling pharmaceuticals, and that didn't make me happy. And so I was fortunate to get back into the coaching profession in 2000 at Bellevue University back out in Nebraska.
Yeah, you spent quite a bit of time there, about 8 years. Pretty darn good overall record there as the head coach as well, keeping within the NAIA as well. I want to speak on the NAIA a little bit, because I think a lot of people kind of don't realize the level of competition that exists at that level. It's still collegiate athletics, right?
Absolutely.
It's still a high level of competition, but how did you kind of carry that? How did you take on that banner of being an NAIA coach?
Yeah, and it's changed a lot even in the last couple of years. So at that time, when I was a head coach at the NAIA level for 17 years, and at that time there were two divisions in NAIA. So there was NAIA Division I and then NAIA Division II, which the schools I coached at, other than one, were NAIA Division II. The difference is at NAIA Division I, at that time, you could have 11 full scholarships. So in theory, you had more scholarship opportunities than you do at the NCAA Division II level, which we have 10 scholarships at our level at the NCAA Division II. And then at the NEI Division II level, you had 6 scholarships. And so that has now all merged, and the NEI is now back to just one division. And that one division, you're allowed 8 scholarships. So what I would tell you is the top 10 or 15 teams at the NEI level, I don't want to play them. They're as good as we are. They might be better than we are. It's a little different type of basketball. It's a little more wide open, a little more athletic, maybe in general. But it's really, really good basketball. And so I think the perception is maybe it's not as good as, say, Division II, but it's definitely, like I said, the top 10 or 15 teams at the NEI level can compete against all the teams that we play against right now in the NSIC.
I can definitely see that, especially from your record here from 2000 to 2008. It was 225 wins, only 56 losses. And it was 4 separate 30-plus win seasons. I can definitely see that level of competition, like you said, especially I did not know that about the scholarships. Yeah. I didn't know that you were at sometimes maybe afforded more scholarships than some of the divisions of NCAA players.
No doubt.
Be cool to see kind of more of a crossover between NAIA and NCAA kind of as we get into this weird new future of NIL and all of that stuff. So, yeah. Post Bellevue, you went back to Creighton, like you mentioned. Was that what was the reasoning behind that? What was the process?
So Dana Altman, the head coach of the University of Oregon, was the coach at Creighton at that time. And obviously I was in town for 8 years. Bellevue is a suburb of Omaha, and got to know him well enough, and he had a staff opening. And, at that time, I felt like I had, done enough at the NEI level as a head coach and had some thoughts at that time of, can I be a Division I head coach? And if I have aspirations to do that, working for someone like Coach Altman, who had a tremendous run at Creighton University at that time, I thought could only help my pursuit of that, if that was the direction I was going to go, and it was time from an age standpoint to look into it if I was going to do it. And it was great. I just talked to him the other day. He was really good to me. But it was a hard adjustment for me. I'd been a head coach at that time, I think, for 12 years. Now you're not the head coach, and rightfully so. I came in as the third assistant of the three full-time guys, And so I wasn't having a lot of say in things. Coach had been really established. It was just a hard adjustment for me. And I actually interviewed for a head coaching position after my first year there. And for no reason other than that, that's where my comfort level is. And and then after the second year, I was given an opportunity to go take the Benedictine College job down in Atchison, Kansas. And just, again, felt more comfortable doing that. And the scary piece, I guess, out of the whole thing is I took that job about a week after our season ended. And then Coach Altman, about a month later, took the Oregon job. And so, you know, you don't know when people make that type of move from the Missouri Valley at that time to the, I guess it was the Pac-12 at that time, you know, would have even taken me with him, you know? And yeah. So maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have, you know, it's an unknown. It was no need to be discussed to find out. Yeah. But there was transition in the position I currently was, obviously, at Creighton, and whether or not I would have had to go find something else, you know, you just don't know. And so I was at Benedictine for 1 year. It was a good experience for us, but, you know, we really loved the Omaha area, and 1 year into it, I had a chance to come back to the Omaha area at Midland University, which was another NAIA program, and try to help reboot that program. And my wife was very interested in moving back to Omaha. And so we spent a very short amount of time at Benedictine, but really loved our time there. And I still actually talk to the president of Benedictine College once or twice a year. But it was best to come back to Omaha. And to be real honest with you, those 4 years we spent at Midland University were as good a 4 years as my wife and I have had, you know, in personally and certainly professionally also.
Yeah, I mean, quite looking again at your resume here, it seems like you got to work right away pretty much. If your main goal was rebooting the program, I'd say that you did that very successfully. 96-39 overall record, including a national championship appearance in 2014. And that I do believe that that team was actually inducted into the Midland Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Yeah, a couple summers, 2 summers ago, I guess it is now. It was great. I worked for a president that wanted to be good, and he gave us the resources to be good because it's a program that had really struggled. They had won 8 games the year before we got there and 5 games the year before that. And we won 19 the first year and just really had it moving in the right direction. And like you said, in the third year competed for the national championship, unfortunately lost that game and then won 30 games that year and 26 games the last year and then was afforded the opportunity to come to Winona State. So, but the 4 years, like I said, we still go back there all the time in the summer and have great friends there and vacation with friends from the Fremont area. And so it was a really good 4-year experience for us.
Yeah. Speaking kind of in that transition out of Winona State at Division II NCAA level, what was the reasoning behind that as well? I mean, was that an opportunity that you saw presented to you and you're like, I have to take this or what was the thought process behind it?
Well, as I got moving in the NAI ranks, I had interviewed for 3 or 4 Division II jobs that, you know, for whatever reason I did not get. And this was another opportunity. Obviously, the success of Winona State, you know, throughout the years was something that was very intriguing and appealing to me. And, you know, it was in a great league. I didn't know how great a league until I've been here, but I knew it was a great league. And so, you know, at least on the outside looking in, you saw a program that had a tremendous amount of success throughout the years and we competed in a great league, and it brought me closer to home. You know, my parents are getting older. My parents are in their 80s now. And when I got here, obviously, they would have been in their 70s. And I've seen my parents more in the last 10 years than I saw them the previous 20 years combined. And my brothers still live in Wisconsin. So there was some personal reasons that made it appealing. And then obviously professionally, the opportunity to compete at the Division II level and in the NSIC was also really appealing to me.
Yeah, and you've worked this job now for about 10 years. Is this a job that you kind of see yourself maybe retiring in, or are you always looking to kind of move up the ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much done. You know, I mean, it's you never say never, but I'm not searching for anything. I was fortunate to Winona State gave us gave us a 4-year contract that provides some stability. Anytime you have a place that shows some appreciation towards the efforts that you've done, you certainly want to be loyal to them also. And, you know, if they're going to be willing to keep me on had me keep working. We're going to keep working to try to keep the program moving in the right direction. And so I'm very fortunate to be at Winona State. And, you know, I'm 57 years old. And so I'm not, like I said, actively looking for anything in any way, shape, or form, and hope to just, you know, continue to work here for as many years as I feel good doing it and Winona State wants me.
Well, speaking of moving the program in the right direction, seems like that's, you've had a lot of success recently as well. I mean, 2 20-win seasons, the last two couple of seasons, 23, 24, and 24, 25. A lot of players named the NSAC All-Conference team as well the past couple of years. Is that kind of just the mindset that you've got right now is, you know, always moving forward, improve as much as you can?
I think you take each year, you know, obviously as its own entity. And, you know, we've been very fortunate the last 2 years, and the transfer portal's made life challenging and different, but also there's been opportunity with it. And so we've certainly been challenged by the transfer portal situation over the last few years, and have been very fortunate to bring in some people through the transfer portal that have helped our program tremendously. And we're dealing with the same thing again with the 25-26 team, and a lot of new faces, learning some new roles and being part of a new program. And but yeah, I mean, like I said, every year is a different year, a new challenge. And we're still figuring out what our identity is going to be for this year. But the last 2 years were obviously really enjoyable. And it's you would hope it's always enjoyable when you're winning games. But to finally make the NCAA tournament, I did not anticipate taking 10 years to do that. But, you know, you go through your race, and some years you don't play as well as you want. Some years you're playing well enough and just don't get it done. And other years you're not doing as well as you want to do. And that's the ebb and flow of the college basketball game. I mean, this is the longest I've ever been at any school. And we've still got a lot of work to do. And started our season, obviously, this past weekend. And we're going to continue to fight and battle and see where this can take us over the next couple of years.
Yeah. He brings up a good point, by the way, and I can't believe I haven't asked this to any of the coaches that I've had on the show yet, but how has the transfer portal and the new NIL landscape affected you at a Division II level, which I don't think a lot of people kind of overlook a little bit, but it's still happening here.
Yeah, the transfer portal is impacting us a lot. And the NIL landscape is ever evolving. It's here. It's in Division II, not at the volume that you hear and see and talk about at the Division I level, but it's here, and, you know, and at the end of the day, if X school or Y school can offer somebody $5,000 or $10,000 to play at our level, it's, you know, it makes a difference. And, you know, we're real excited about, you know, we've got a new athletic director here, started this past summer, and Jen's got a lot of really good ideas that, you know, we'll see how, you know, where they go, but there's an energy level and an excitement level in our department, I believe, that I think it'll be really interesting to see where it can go moving forward, you know, and it's not going to happen overnight, but just to feel excited about coming to work, knowing that there's going to be some, I think, some real exciting things happening in Winona State Athletics in the near future and hopefully long term also. I may not see the benefits as an old guy in the department, but I think there's a lot of things that are going to be real exciting under her leadership. But the transfer portal has been, you know, like I said, a challenge, as I'm being politically correct. We've had 7 players transfer to the Division I level in the last 5 years. Obviously, if they're transferring to that level, they're good players. We've lost 4 starters each of the last 2 years. 2 years ago, we lost 3 starters to Division I that obviously could have been back. This year we lost our best player to Division I, Luke Hurdle, who's now playing at South Dakota State. And then the other 3 starters we lost last year were seniors. So, you know, that makes it hard to have some continuity. It's hard, you know, they talk about the difference between transformational and transactional in our profession. And it's becoming a lot more transactional in that if you develop somebody and they become pretty good, they're more than likely going to look to leave because it's always been their goal to play Division
One. Yeah.
You know, very few guys that come to our place with the dream of playing Division Two. They didn't dream of playing Division Two. They dreamed of playing Division One.
Yeah.
And whether they, you know, we've had a couple that have come from Division One, played at our place, played really well, and gone back to Division One, or their games have just gotten better and have some eligibility left where they want to go try it. certainly can't fault them. It just makes our job harder.
Yeah.
And last year we got so lucky. We brought three guys in from the transfer portal that all started for us. Two of them were all conference. The other one's playing Division I basketball at William & Mary right now. So all three of them had a huge impact on our program. And we've brought in some more guys from the transfer portal this year. And unfortunately, we've just been ravaged with some injuries. And so we're not really getting the fruits of our labor at this time. And we'll see if we can get some of them back that can help us maybe hopefully second semester.
Yeah. You got the NSIC opener coming up. I do believe that's literally tomorrow as of the recording of this against Concordia St. Paul at St. Paul. Tell me a little bit about that matchup.
Yeah, Concordia St. Paul was co-champs of our league last year, and they lost some key pieces. Kimmins was the player of the year in our league, and thankfully he's done. But they still got some really good pieces. They went 2-0 on the road this weekend at a tough place to play in Fort Hays State out in western Kansas. And they've got a really good guard and forward combo in Kopetsky and West. And we're just, again, we're trying to find out who we are. And we saw some good things this weekend. We've got a lot of things we've got to work on. And we just get, again, we've got a lot of new pieces out there. We've got one starter back from last year's team. We've got a guy that redshirted last year due to injury that played very well in Gavin Hurley this past weekend. And then the other guys that are playing for us are either freshmen or new. And like I said, we've got two guys out right now for the year, one that would have started for us. And we've had a really good perimeter player, new player that had surgery last week, knee surgery last week. And then we've got a really good new perimeter player that's having hand surgery tomorrow. And so we've had some guys that have just been banged up. And I mean, we're having such bad luck. We had our assistant coach practice yesterday and he got hurt. So, because we were down to 10 guys. And so, so we don't even know what we're doing for practice today because we're not sure we're going to have 10 guys out of 18 ready to practice. But that happens to everybody. And, you know, nobody cares and nobody's going to postpone the game. We're going to figure out and put our best foot forward tomorrow. But I'm hoping that we can survive until we get Caden back and hopefully Jovan back. And Jerron Cruz is also hurt right now with a high ankle sprain. And we projected him to start at point for us. So we just had some pieces that we need from a depth standpoint and a talent standpoint that hopefully if it takes till second semester, maybe we can get those guys back and have a little different team in the last half of the season.
Okay. I don't think I have any more questions. Thank you very much for coming in to do this interview. It's really appreciated, this podcast, and best of luck as you start the NSCC opener and throughout the rest of the season.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Warrior Way podcast, brought to you by Winona State Athletics and Layden Media. Tune in next time for more exciting WSU sports talk and news.